Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency is holding a public hearing today on a proposed cut to the 2014 renewable fuel standard. Iowa Governor Terry Branstad is expected to be among those people testifying. Branstad says that EPA's proposed 3 billion gallon cut to the overall renewable fuels standard, including the corn-based ethanol, could cost 45,000 jobs nationally. The U.S. economy grew at a 3.6% annual rate from July through September. That's the fastest since early 2012, but nearly half that growth, according to the Commerce Department, came from a buildup in business stockpiles. When excluding inventories, the economy grew at a 1.9% rate in the third quarter, and that would be down from the 2.1% rate in the spring. This morning, USDA reported export sales for the week ending November the 28th. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 8.4. Corn this year, 23.4. Soybeans this year, 29.6. And next year, 13.1. Also this morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 111,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China during the 14 and 15 marketing year that begins next September the 1st. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading 15,846. It's down 43 points. The NASDAQ, 4,032, down 5.5. And the S&P 500 is trading 1,787. It is also down 5.5 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Winter weather has certainly settled into the northwestern portions of the U.S. Midwest, with a blizzard impacting many areas from the Dakotas into portions of Wisconsin and upper Michigan the last couple of days. Some of the snowfall is rather impressive in the northwestern portions of the region, including the northeastern part of Minnesota, where 33 inches were reported on the ground earlier this morning. It looks like the moisture totals in the last 24 hours have run anywhere from a few hundredths of an inch upwards to around 0.5 inch, most often from the eastern Dakotas into upper Michigan. But there are a number of locations in that region that have reported much greater amounts, ranging from a 0.5 inch up close to 1 inch. Those are the areas that have had significant amounts of accumulating snow. A record amount occurred yesterday during the day across portions of the Grand Forks, North Dakota area, where 7 inches was reported, and totals since then have gotten much higher. In fact, a widespread region of 6 to 12 inch accumulations have occurred in portions of North Dakota, and certainly northern Minnesota will hear about much greater amounts, maybe into the 20 to 30 inch range across those northern counties in Minnesota. In the meantime, the rest of the Midwest, relatively quiet yesterday. Not much precipitation of significance was reported, although a few spits and spats were noted. And it looks like we're going to continue to look at a temperature contrast across the country for the next several days. That raises the potential for repetitive precipitation events to occur in the lower eastern Midwest and some neighboring areas in the lower Mississippi River Basin, as well as the interior portions of the southeastern United States. This is all because of bitter cold air coming from an Arctic air mass that is going to persist over the northern plains and portions of the northwestern Corn Belt for several more days. This cold air mass will contrast from a warm air mass that will be present in the southeastern corner of the country. The temperatures in portions of Georgia and Alabama, as well as Florida, will probably be in the 70s over these next few days, with the warmest weather possible over the course of the weekend. There may actually be some 80-degree high temperatures in parts parts of Alabama, Georgia, and Florida, with a strong contrast between that and temperatures in the mornings running in the negative 20s and negative 30s across parts of the northwestern U.S. plains sets the stage for frequent storm systems to run across the heart of this temperature change area, and that is going to include region from portions of northeastern Texas through parts of Missouri and portions of the northern U.S. Delta into the heart of the eastern Midwest. These areas will see periods of precipitation over these next few days and will likely see it moderate in intensity at times. The majority of this precipitation, though, is going to come in a couple of waves. The first will probably begin as we move through the afternoon today and continuing overnight tonight and into the day on Friday. A reinforcing shot of energy will likely come across the very same region as we move from Friday into Saturday morning. Then finally, some drier weather will occur, but only for one day on Sunday before another round of precipitation impacts the very same region as we move from Sunday afternoon into Monday. These three storm systems will see to it that the ground is saturated from northeastern Texas to Ohio and Kentucky, as well as Tennessee. These areas will probably run a risk of some flooding as we move forward through this period of time. The ground will certainly be saturated. We do not expect all the precipitation to occur as rain, by the way. There will be a band of snow, sleet, and some freezing rain that will occur along the northern fringes of this precipitation. Right now, it looks like the area from central Missouri into portions of northwestern Ohio and southeastern Michigan will be the areas that see the most significant snow and ice accumulation. We'll look for some improving weather to come as we move into the second part of next week, but it certainly will be a slow go. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red December wheat is 705, down 4 1/4. March is 698, down 6 1/4. Soft December, 640, down 7 1/4. March, 653 3/4, down 8. December corn, 422, down 3 1/2. March, 433 1/4, down 3 1/4. July at 448, and down 3 1/2. January soybeans, 1322, down 7 1/2. July, 1283, down 5. December soybean meal, 441 10, down 380. December soybean oil is trading 40.11, down 3 cents. December live cattle, 132.85, up 12 1/2. January feeders, 165.75, up 70. December lean hogs, 83.40, down 27 1/2. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning to you, Dave.
Read a story this morning that said that Vice President Joe Biden didn't get a lot of traction with the Chinese government regarding the discussion over airspace. Could that have something to do with the soybean futures down today?
I think so. Also, corn, it looks like this could be a substantial deal just because longer term the Chinese have lots of options to buy beans, new crop beans, even some old crop beans out of Argentina.
So inside day pretty much on the soybeans, even as we are discussing it, what do you look for the balance of the week?
I think we probably will have put the high in for the week on Monday, and we're just going to kind of fiddly stick down in here somewhere in the low 1300s on the Jans. We ought to find some pretty good support around 1310, but a lot of resistance around 1330 as well.
And we have a WASDE report coming out and crop production on Tuesday. You think that USDA is going to adjust those export numbers?
I think that they may, both on the corn and the bean side, because they've certainly been outpacing USDA's expectations. I don't know whether they'll make huge changes, but I think they'll make small ones. The trade certainly looks for those to come to be, too.
We also could maybe see some easing off on the world carryout projection in corn, too, I would think.
I would think so, too. And I think it's possible that we will not see downsizing in domestics, on the domestic side, on the ethanol use of corn. Certainly we've had, with four-month highs in ethanol futures, we've had excellent margins. Now they're even better than excellent.
We saw the huge Canadian wheat crop reported by Stats Canada yesterday. That took the wind out of the sails of the hard red and actually new lows in the contract there.
Yeah, I think it's been extremely disappointing. You know, we tried to pump the wheat market up on cold weather in the U.S. plains, but seems to me that Australia and Argentina will come in with substantial wheat crops, and we certainly have not seen export business really rock and roll to the U.S.
A quick word on livestock, please.
I think we're just acting kind of disappointed. We saw a little firmness in the cattle cutouts yesterday, but certainly not anything to write home of. Wholesale trade prices in the pork side look pretty dismal.
Thank you, Ellen. Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, and she is in Moorton, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace. December corn, 422, down 3.5. March, 433 and a quarter, down 3.25, now down 3. And July at 448 and a quarter is down 3.25. January beans, 1321, down 8.5. July, 1282.5, down 5.5. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.